I'm also on the line. Sonny Douglas.
All right. And I'm. Can I get the appellant's representative's names again?
It's Mike Spandel, F like Frank, A-N-D-E-L.
And Drew Hagen also.
And I didn't get your last name from Drew.
So it's Drew Duggan, D as in Delta, U-G-G-A-N.
All right. Thank you all for taking the time to do oral argument on the motions this morning. We're a bit out of sorts. I have my legal assistant in the hearing examiner room recording this hearing. Due to illness, I'm calling in as well, and so I'll ask your indulgence to move through this a bit slowly and steadily to make sure that my phone can hear you and that you can hear me as well. We need to make sure that we're not speaking over each other. The purpose of today's hearing is to provide an opportunity to the parties to add additional arguments and to answer questions from the hearing examiner concerning two motions. One is a summary judgment motion submitted by the city, which was responded to by the appellants. The parties agreed that the matters could be decided by summary judgment. And I think the motion speaks for themselves. I won't go into the details on that. And then there's also a motion to intervene that has been submitted. I'd like to start with the motion to intervene. And my proposal is to go, I don't need to give you all hard and fast times. I have read your motions documents. I do have some questions, but I also want to give you a chance to add anything, just to summarize your argument. So what I propose to do is to give each party for each motion up to 5 minutes. If you absolutely need more time for that, if you need it, let me know. But I think we've got briefing in, so 5 minutes should be adequate. And so we'll start with the motion to intervene. I'll give each party 5 minutes. If I have questions, I'll ask them after each party gives its argument, and then we'll move on to the next motion after that. Are there any questions or concerns about the procedure I've described?
Yes, this is Stephanie. We were told this was just going to be oral argument on the motion to intervene. We didn't know you wanted oral argument on the summary judgment motion, and didn't know that would be covered today.
Okay, if there's some question or concern that I have that you're not prepared to answer on that, then let me know. There needs to be supplemental briefing, but I think you briefed it relatively well. You're all skilled attorneys, so I'm guessing 5 minutes isn't going to be throw you too much on that motion, or am I wrong?
That's fine.
All right. But understanding that there was some confusion about whether you'd be addressing that or not, I won't hold you to some higher standards that you should have been prepared. So, but thank you for letting me know. So let's start with the motion to intervene. And this is no particular order. I'll just, I'll take the movement, the individual, the party trying to intervene. I'll take them because it's their motion. And then hear first from the city, and then from appellants. And that's back to you, Mr. Esker.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'll try to move quickly with the five-minute limitation. The first thing I'd like to address is simply that Washington OG has a significant interest in this appeal. The city has consistently interpreted the dispersion rules in Seattle as not requiring more, or allowing more than two stores within 1,000 feet of one another. If you were to rule in Seattle Cannabis Companies or Marigold's favor, Washington OG would become the first store that is required to be sandwiched between two other stores. Not seeking a competitive advantage, you see, just simply seeking to prevent the detriment that would happen to his business if he were placed in that circumstance. He's also has a significant interest in this appeal just through our prior objections. We're clearly an interested party. We filed objections as part of a public process before the decision on the license was issued. In fact, we believe we wouldn't even have this appeal today if it were not for those objections. So my client kind of initiated this process and has a significant interest in the outcome. Washington OG's interests are not adequately represented in this appeal. The city and Washington OG are in agreement as to the interpretation of the dispersion rule. However, there's significant misrepresentations have been made during the summary judgment process that the city has not bothered to rebut. According to Seattle Cannabis Company's summary judgment brief, it's arguing that for an interpretation of the code that would allow it to be licensed despite receiving prior local authority notices, it argues that all applicants are entitled to open if they apply in a cluster if they satisfy the definition of major marijuana activity, or there are not two that satisfy that definition at the time the LAM is received. Major marijuana activity has been defined to mean any retail sales. It previously had a more limiting...
Mr. Espergaard, I'm going to ask you to pause. There's a beeping noise in the background. Does anyone know what that is?
No.
I don't know.
You still here?
Okay. I can hear you just fine. There was a...
Probably somebody's cell phone vibrating on the desk.
Right. So please, everyone, be aware that you're on a microphone and that we are in the middle of oral argument. So to give the Mr. Espergaard an opportunity to get his words out, we need all the silence in the background. If you need to mute it, please do so. Mr. Espergaard, please continue.
Thank you, Your Honor. Major marijuana activity is defined as any retail sale that used to have a more restrictive definition in Seattle that required a certain quantity of sales, but that has been changed to be any sales. And major marijuana activity also doesn't include the requirement to have a state license or a city license. It's simply any business conducting retail sales satisfies that definition. Notably, both the city and Seattle Cannabis Company were aware of these sales before they submitted their summary judgment briefing. I've communicated into objection letters with the city about those sales. We have received public records request document, a June 15th email from Miller Nash to the city that acknowledges that Miller Nash, appellant's counsel, was able to confirm for themselves that traceability records of the state indicate February sales occurred. Despite this, misrepresentations were made about those sales. The city has not objected or corrected that record, and so Washington OG's interests have not been adequately represented in this matter. There's no prejudice for allowing intervention. There's no delay. We've said we will stick on the current schedule. We filed exhibit and witness lists on time, and if there's a hearing on Monday, we'll be prepared for it. There's also no expansion of the issues. The interpretation of the code remains the primary issue, and whether or not Washington OG conducted prior sales, whether it meets the definition of major marijuana activity, is an issue that was raised by the appellant in its own summary judgment briefing, so there's no expansion of those issues. The additional evidence only consists of a few additional documents and one additional witness. Washington OG should be granted status as a full intervener, despite the rule that typically requires 10 business days. This motion was filed 8 business days or 12 calendar days away from the hearing. The hearing examiner rules 103C a lot says that when questions of practice or procedure arise that are not addressed by these rules, the hearing examiner shall determine the practice or procedure most appropriate and consistent with providing fair treatment and due process. Washington OG would ordinarily be entitled to appeal a decision to the issue of the business license over its objection. We believe that this due process similarly requires Washington OG be allowed to participate in this appeal. If it can't, it's not able to then subsequently appeal an issuance of the license. Due process requires notice and a fair opportunity to participate. Washington OG was part of the public process to begin with, never received actual notice of the decision, never received notice of an appeal. It wasn't until we heard rumors about an appeal a week and a half ago now that I was able to search online and find this hearing, not under Seattle Cannabis Company's name, it's a different individual's name, and I immediately filed the motion one day after discovering the hearing had been taking place. Finally, Your Honor, you know, we would like you to give us the full intervener status to protect the due process rights of Washington OG. We also have two alternative motions. One is for intervention.
I'll stop you there, Mr. Espergaard. I understand those alternative motions. It's the primary motion that I wanted to get to, and you will be at least granted appellate for appeal reasons, intervener status. So I don't want to get into that. Okay. Primary issue that I want to address. I'm sorry, Mr. Espergaard, if you have something else to
add? I wanted to just simply comment, too, if we're only given that intervener status, we should still be able to submit documents to be able to demonstrate the sales to correct the misrepresentations. And that's under Rule 3116. Thank you.
All right, we'll get to that.
Thank you.
Thank you, City.
Your Honor, I don't have too much more to add besides what's in our opposition response. Regarding the notice, there is no requirement that the city give notice of the appeal to Washington OG. Under SMC 6.202.110, we're required to give notice if someone notes an objection to the issuance or denial of license, and then the city goes against their position. In other words, if the city were to have granted the marijuana license to Seattle Cannabis, then we'd have to provide a response under 6202.110 to Washington OG explaining our reasoning, and we're required to do that within 10 days. Denied the license, which is exactly what Washington OG wanted, so they're not entitled to notice. Of course, I have no specific information that Washington OG knew of that decision, but I find it hard to believe that they didn't know until a few days ago that an appeal had been filed. But putting that aside, they're not entitled to notice, and there is no explanation for why their motion is untimely. There is a specific hearing examiner rule on intervention, and it requires that motion be filed 10 business days, in advance. And I believe the motion was filed on the 20th instead of the 17th when it was due. At least that's the day that I received our copy of the motion. So that to me is 3 days late and is untimely and should be denied for that reason. I understand Mr. Espegard does not want to delay the hearing any further beyond October 1st, which is the day that it's set. So we have made the argument in our brief that this would cause undue delay. Obviously, if they're sticking with the same schedule, then that argument does not work. But that's pretty much the city's argument. The deadline and their argument about notice is unfounded. Also, the city is arguing that the hearing examiner should affirm the denial of the license, which is exactly Washington OG's position.
Okay, thank you. I'm the appellant.
Thank you, Your Honor. This is Mike Candle. I want to endorse what the city said in terms of the timeliness of this motion. We have a hearing set on Monday. Today is Wednesday. Whoever these witnesses and this new evidence is going to have to be, we're just not going to be prepared to address these new issues in a hearing in 3 business days from now. And this hearing has already been continued once. Our resolution, our hearing date should have been weeks ago. And I think the city and Marigold both agree that hopefully we won't even have a hearing, that this matter can be decided as a matter of law. But if there is a hearing on October 1st, we are not going to be in a position to address the new issues that the intervener wants to insert into the case. And among those, I think I just heard Mr. Espegard's position is that sales made without a license for business not licensed to do business in Seattle constitutes major marijuana activity implicating the dispersion rule. That technically means any illegal sale on any corner from an unlicensed retailer or of marijuana would implicate the rule, and that's not what it is intended to do. That's not what the rule says. The city code deals with licensed businesses, not unlicensed businesses, and have to address that issue and litigated. It's going to be time-consuming, and we're not be prepared to do it on the 1st of October. Similarly, the details of some sales, a single sale that occurred, allegedly occurred, in February, and whether or not that constitutes major marijuana activity, including retail sales on March 2, is another background noise issue that isn't relevant. The city agrees with Miracle that Washington OG was not open for business and did not have a city marijuana license on March 2. That's the dispositive issue. I would add that if the city had granted this license back months ago, Washington OG would be in the exact same position as it is in today. It would have issued its objection. License would be issued to Seattle Cannabis, and they would be in a position to do whatever they could do to try to appeal it. They're in no different position today. They're in no different position not being a party to this appeal than they would have been if this license was issued in the first place. And I would add that in terms of the notice, they would only be entitled to notice if the license is issued. The only way the license is issued in this case is if you grant the appeal. If you grant the appeal, you have found as a matter of law that Washington OG was not licensed. It was not open for business on that day, and therefore their position would already be decided. So the major point, I think, if there's no prejudice to Washington OG, if they would be in the same position months ago as they are now, and it is prejudicial to Seattle Cannabis to try to be prepared to address completely new issues in 3 days. It would also be prejudicial to us to continue the hearing again. We urge you to just rule on this matter as a matter of law and let Washington OG do whatever it would have done in the first place if it's the license, correct?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman. Hearing from the parties, I do have some additional questions. How I would like to address the questions is simply in the same order that we just did with arguments. So if I ask a question, I don't want everybody jumping in. I want to start with the movement, the intervener, and then both then the city, and then the appellant. So the hearing examiner's concern is this. I have a party indicating that they might have multiple concerns. One, on the one hand, there's certainly the possibility for prejudice to the two parties that in the case already with this late filing. If the parties have already stipulated to facts, they've submitted a summary judgment motion and essentially a response to that motion indicating that the hearing examiner can make a decision on it. The hearing examiner agrees that based on those motions, he could make a decision without a fact hearing. And that was the position before intervener shows up. So I've got we don't necessarily have to have a fact hearing on Monday with the motions that are in. The intervener is proposing some facts that would essentially need a fact hearing for those facts. So that alone is certainly a potential prejudice in scheduling for the party. Additional issue is the concern that I have is that there are these fact issues. I guess I'm a little not sure what the city's position is, and maybe I could just ask the city this question: is if there was activity, is there some exclusive or clear definition of what is retail activity? Is there something in the that on the flip side, my concern is this is a fact hearing. This isn't, while I appreciate the judicial efficiency of going for a summary judgment, the whole purpose of the administrative level is to really try to explore any facts, factual basis for the parties in their appeals and fully understand those in case there's an appeal that goes up to the higher level. And so
now. Haven't brought those facts, but if there are facts out there, why aren't we looking at those to help understand what the activity was of one of the existing, or as the city's position characterized it as existing, you know, why would we not look at those facts, city?
I'm just looking here to see if there is a definition for retail.
That they had a building permit.
they had a lease for that location, that they were actively working on getting open, but they were not open yet. They had a presence in Ballard and were working towards opening, but sales is not necessarily a requirement to be an existing major marijuana activity.
Your Honor, this is Ryan Espigard. I'm sorry to interrupt.
The order I had identified was that we'd start with the move-in and then the city and then the appellant. I went directly to the city with my questioning. But I'll allow Mr. Espigard and then we'll go to the appellant for this. I assume you both have comments.
Thank you, Your Honor. To answer directly a couple of your questions, the code has an explicit definition for major marijuana activity, not necessarily retail, but the definition that the appellant cares about. That definition states major marijuana activity means, except as provided below, if it's on the medical issues, any production, processing, or selling of marijuana, marijuana infused products, usable marijuana, or marijuana concentrates, if any selling. There's no reference to any license requirements. If you meet that the definition of major marijuana activity, then there are other code requirements that you then have to follow to just get your business license. But whether or not you satisfy that definition is meant to be based on sales. Regarding the whether or not we have factual issues that require us to go to a hearing, if you were to rule in the city's favor on its motion, the factual issues related to sales become moot. It's only when you accept the appellant's interpretation of the code that you then have to look at whether sales have occurred or not. So if you're going to look at whether, if you're going to look in the favor of the appellant on that issue, then I believe all these factual issues do come to light. And I, you know, as to whether or not sales occur, and I believe we should be able to intervene to make that argument, just as you were, if you're questioning the city, you know, doesn't this support your argument? Well, it does. And we want to be able to make that argument, the sales that my client undertook, while it was licensed by the state, after it had its LA in place, while it was building out its location, satisfied all of these requirements, even under the appellant's chosen interpretation. Thank you.
All right, let me hear from appellant.
Thank you, Your Honor. The city clearly doesn't want to take the position that unlicensed sales trigger this, and I can understand why, but I think even more to the point, the intervener is arguing something that the code doesn't provide for, and that is, I'm sorry, I get these crank calls all the time, so I hope you can still hear me.
I can hear you.
Okay. The intervener is arguing essentially that any sale at any time prior to the date the land is received satisfies the definition of existing major marijuana activity, including retail sales of marijuana products on the date of the lease. But the regulation, the code says, you deal with the facts on that date. So when you have a business that isn't open, that supposedly had $150 sale the month before in order to keep the liquor and cannabis board off their backs, constitutes activity on a day a month the next month, and it doesn't. I would point out that after February of 2018, the city's internal emails called Washington OG a squatter, and the liquor and cannabis board began to pursue Washington OG and a forfeiture for failing to be open and doing business. So what they tried to do didn't work. But the fact of the matter remains that the code refers to March 2nd, 2018. They were not open for business, they didn't have a license, and they weren't engaged on that date in activity, including retail sales. So it's all kind of background noise, as is, from our position, this issue about what they intended to do. Because the city council took that issue of intent out of the regulation when it attached 2342 to Local 588 and said, you know, whatever the intent was doesn't matter. It's what was actually happening on that day. So this whole intervention thing is really going to create a lot of activity, to use that term, about something that ultimately isn't going to answer the question about whether there was major marijuana activity on March 2, 2018.
All right. Mr. Esbergard, can you, I'm turning now to, I understand the party's arguments on this aspect of it, that the relevancy of the factual information that could come in from the intervener and how that may relate to the arguments that are at hand. I'm turning my attention now to the procedural stance that we're in and potential inconvenience to the parties. The information you propose to bring, Mr. Esbergard, what is nature, scope, size, we're talking hours of evidence, stacks of documents, one document, what are we, is it more than just a description of the activity we've heard? I need a Reader's Digest version of what you propose.
So we filed and served a witness and exhibit list on Monday, timely, and I'll kind of summarize the content of it. We identified two witnesses. One is Don Douglas, owner of Washington OG. He's available to testify about Washington OG's efforts to open his business, including the sales that occurred in February and his purchase of inventory in December. I have listed direct examination as lasting 20 minutes. That could be for the limited if you need to, you know, intentionally narrow the scope of that testimony. The second witness is a duplicate of witnesses called by the other parties, Sherry McLeod, to ask the same questions that they're likely not going to ask of her related to the Seattle Cannabis program and how they interpreted the code provisions. The exhibit list, there are, I have 11 potential exhibits. Three exhibits are related to sales. One is the report from the City of Seattle that describes why it was changing its definition of major marijuana activity to include any sales. The second exhibit is a transportation manifest, so an LCB document that demonstrates Washington OG purchasing and storing marijuana inventory in its valid location in December of 2017. And the third are excise tax reporting forms for the February 2018 sales that the LCB reported. Then the additional exhibits, many of these are already duplicates of other exhibits proposed by the parties, including a building permit. What would be new would be our letters to the city, our objection letters related to Seattle Cannabis Company's efforts to move into Ballard despite the dispersion rule. Now, in terms of length of testimony, I think we would add a total of maybe 20 minutes to the entire hearing, and we've got a limited number of documents that are not new issues. They're directly on point with the issues that the appellant has raised. And also regarding burden, copies of all of these exhibits have already been provided or were provided on Monday to the parties.
All right. Appellant, you've indicated that you do not have capacity to prepare for that information on Monday. Can you explain?
If the issue of Washington OG's intent is really relevant to this appeal, then it's a whole new can of worms. I don't think it is, but if your decision is that is some kind of fact that is potentially determinative of the outcome of this statutory interpretation, then we need to dig into it. I can't just accept this idea that they were intending at some point in time to open and what it means and how that might implicate the ordinance. As I say, I think the city council put that issue out. It's irrelevant under the because it's fast as they exist on that date. And so if we're going to go in and expand this hearing into something that I think is irrelevant, we need some time to look into it. I can't just walk in there not knowing what Mr. Douglas is going to say or what you might think is going to be relevant in expose my client to potential prejudice and not being ready to deal with those issues. I would also say that this issue of storing product or whatever is also irrelevant. The only question is, were there...
I'm not taking part. Ms. Schneider, I understand your argument on the relevance. I was just asking about your capacity to address the matter.
Okay, it's just Monday. This is all new stuff. I'm not comfortable walking into a hearing on Monday with all this new information to deal with.
Your Honor, this is Drew Duncan. May I add one comment to Mr. Fandles?
Please.
In order to respond to the testimony of Donnie Douglas regarding these alleged sales, we would also have to call rebuttal witnesses from the LCB in order to insert into the record what constitutes legitimate sales, what the consequences are for conducting sales in violation of LCB and city rules, and whether or not these factual sales have any legitimacy whatsoever.
You think you're going to get somebody from the LCB?
We would need to, Your Honor. By Monday, I doubt it, Your Honor.
At any time?
I do, Your Honor.
Well, Your Honor, I would just add that I have not seen Washington OG's witness or exhibit list, so I don't know where that was sent, but I have received it. And also, I would just echo Mr. Fandle's comments about 2342058, Appendix 6, is whether a major marijuana activity complies with the requirements shall be based on the facts that exist on the day LCB issues a notice to the city. And that was March 2nd of 2018. And I think Mr. Esmagard would confirm there were no sales on occurring on March 2nd, 2018. And that's the relevant date.
So no activity before that is relevant. The city is in a balanced position.
That's certainly the town's position.
Well, in terms of sales, obviously our argument is that, you know, what they were doing or what was occurring on March 2nd of 2018, what were the conditions? If we took a look around on that date, what was happening, that's what's relevant.
And if they had engaged in any activity before that related to marijuana retail establishment, that's not relevant unless it happened on that day, is the city's position.
Yes, Your
Honor. Your Honor, Matt Ryan, as regards the city is highlighting why.
I don't need to take more argument. Let's just stop there. I know you all have more to say about it. I think I understand your position. How much more time would the appellants need to prepare?
It depends on how wide open you're going to allow them to, if they intervene, how wide open you're going to.
Well, essentially at this point, I am inclined to allow this evidence in. I don't agree with the city, whether it's fully probative of their argument or not, I'm not deciding it by any means. But as to the city's actual argument, I'm a little baffled at how activity of the business at issue would not be part of essentially the story for me to consider as part of the administrative record. Now, whether that's going to get them through their argument or not, I've got other questions about that, certainly, but I'm just not matching what presented as potential information with their argument, and so that it shouldn't be included. So I am inclined to allow that information in. Essentially, what that puts us in a position, though, really, is I agree with the appellants and the city that I could decide this on summary judgment motion, so I don't need a full hearing except for this additional evidence. The rest of yours has been stipulated and entered. So I would certainly be able to go ahead on Monday and get that information. We're talking about 20 minutes presentation. But if you need a new date for hearing to get that, we can look at that.
Well, how about this? Because I'm not really comfortable saying now what I need to do. But if if we have something on Monday that supplements the record for you to determine whether or not you can grant summary judgment, I mean, I think, the fact of whatever happened in February, it is what it is. And if that's a material issue for summary judgment, then that's for your determination. I don't think it is, but if your concern is that you want a complete record in order to rule on
that, is my concern. Yes, I think you identified that clearly. Yeah.
Then I'm okay with allow them to get that information before you for the purpose of you determining whether or not you can grant summary judgment. And if you decide yes, we're done. If you decide no, then I want a chance to respond to it.
Okay, I can certainly allow that. I think that's well structured, and I appreciate how you presented it. Are there concerns of the other parties that we proceed in that manner, city or intervener? Understanding that Mr. Epstark, you had alternative arguments to this approach, but for that specific approach,
the approach of presenting evidence for you to be able to decide summary judgment on Monday. I think we are agreeable to that. I would only ask that I be given 5 minutes or less for arguments to cover the argument the city seems unwilling to make. The city has highlighted the fact that my client's interests are not being adequately represented. I want 5 minutes of argument on the sales issue on Monday with the evidence, and we'd be content limiting it to that.
City?
So just to be clear, we're going to have a hearing to supplement the facts that you're going to consider for summary judgment, and then is Sherry McLeod to be present on Monday for testimony?
Mr. Esbergarten.
If we're having a full hearing, I would insist on her testimony. If this is only represent facts related to sales that occurred in February and my client's actions, then she is not necessary for that testimony.
All right. Okay.
Will there be additional exhibits offered on Monday?
Sorry, I didn't hear that. I don't know what.
Will there be exhibits offered on Monday that will go into the summary judgment record?
I assume you're asking the other parties.
I'm asking anybody, yes.
Intervener would be submitting additional records that I described earlier.
Okay,
I don't know why you don't have those records. You should have them.
All right, well, let's
after the hearing.
All right, Mr. Osprey, let's pause at that and let's identify again under these strict and limited purposes of allowing it in what you would be entering so that both the appellant and the city are clear on that, recognizing, of course, that you will make sure they get copies after this.
If we're limiting it to the facts for supplementing summary judgment and not full hearing, we would be including Exhibit 1, titled City of Seattle Update to Marijuana Zoning Restrictions Report, dated September 14, 2015. Exhibit 2 will consist of two transportation manifests from December 2017. Exhibit 3 will be Washington OG excise tax reporting forms from February 2018. And I think this is already in the record, so I'm not going to state this in case it's not. Exhibit 4 will be Washington OG's building permit. I think that's in the city's record already. If it's not, we would be asking.
Your Honor, this is Mike Sandel. Exhibit 1, I don't understand its relevance to what we're, the issue seems to me is what, whether there was existing major marijuana activity on the date of the land. I don't have Exhibit 1 in front of me. I'm out of town, so I haven't seen it, but from what the description, it doesn't sound relevant to me.
And I'm sorry, Mr. Esbergard, I didn't quite catch the description of Exhibit 1, so if there's a question about that, could you repeat that?
Yeah, so I'm gonna read the description again. It's City of Seattle Update to Marijuana Zoning Restrictions Report. That's the city's title. Dated September 14, 2015. And or to speed up relevance discussions. It explains why the city of Seattle changed its definition of major marijuana and reduced the requirements in it to only be any sales.
All right, we'll take that argument on relevance of it and admissibility on any one of those on Monday. But we will allow, we're going to start on Monday at 9. We're allowing limited facts in for purposes of summary judgment only. We've had those four items identified. Given that we're proceeding in this manner, I don't see that we need to go on to oral argument for the summary judgment motion. I'll save those questions that I have on that until Monday. I want to start with the city, the appellant, and then the intervener, and hear from each one of you if there are any additional remaining concerns, issues that we need to address so that we proceed in an orderly and timely fashion.
So there will be no testimony on Monday. It's just argument and the offering of the additional exhibits by Washington OG, correct?
That is, as I understand, yes. Mr. Esregard asked for a few minutes to do some additional oral argument. I may have questions as well for the parties concerning the summary judgment motion.
And I apologize for a misunderstanding here. I intended to include testimony of Donald Douglas, but limited to the sales and activities that were taking place immediately before that March 2nd date.
Did I answer your question?
It does. If that raises some issues for a rebuttal witness, can the city put on a rebuttal witness?
Yes.
Okay.
And so can appellants. Appellants raise the same issue, and that's certainly, since we're allowing this limited Pandora's box to open, I certainly will allow you both to respond or rebut that.
Well, Your Honor, I'm concerned about Mr. Douglas' testimony. I don't know what it's going to be. I mean, if we have evidence that something happened in February, and we have a manifest, so that fact is established. What more do we need to get into? I'm thinking we have cracks with Pandora's box open, but if he gets to testify, we've really opened it up, and I don't know what that's going to be. It seems to me that if you want the record supplemented, the fact that something happened in February is the issue. Let's get that in and then decide, if we need to, if that's the circumstances around that are somehow relevant to the resolution of the case, well, then let's have a hearing. But for the summary judgment motion, I think just establishing the fact of that, whatever it was in February, should be sufficient.
Mr. Esregard, how much time would you have to work with your potential witness to get a declaration together instead of having him come in?
I could accomplish that.
I could
have it done by tomorrow afternoon, probably today, but to ensure tomorrow afternoon.
All right. That way, the appellant and city have an opportunity to provide rebuttal by Monday. So we don't have to trap a bunch of witnesses in on Monday.
And I agree this is appropriate, typical summary judgment style, to submit a declaration rather than my testimony. So I'm agreeable to that, for sure.
Okay. And I'm sorry, you say you can have that out by end of day tomorrow?
Yes, and I will attempt to have it done today to give the parties more time, but certainly by the end of day tomorrow.
All right, I was going to reach the parties to ask if there were any additional issues we needed to address. They identified this one. I'll come back to the city and ask the same question. Is there anything else that remains for us to address before Monday?
No.
Ellen?
No, sir.
I think I understand where we're going on Monday, so there's nothing we need to talk about before then, I don't think.
Okay, Mr. Esberger.
No, Your Honor. Thank you.
All right, thank you all for your time. I look forward to seeing you on Monday.
Thank you.